is the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, and I am your hostess, Natalie Ross. And today's episode is a little different. And if you're new, this is totally not our norm. I'm usually interviewing people, but today is a solo episode, the first one in 2 years, because I have some very big news, and I want to share the story of the manifesting of this news. And I'm also going to answer some questions that people posted on an Instagram post where I asked people, what questions do they have for me? So we're going to have some fun today. And if you hear some noise in the background, that's because I am recording in a room on the beach. And so there are waves and kids playing and maybe my family in the background. You can hear them. So just bear with me here. Enjoy the whoosh of the waves. Just imagine that you're there here with me on this beautiful 75 degree sunny breezy day at the beach. And here we go. But before we begin, I want you all to have a listen about shadow work with Nikki Silvestri, because she's doing this Shadow Lab course. It is a 3-month journey where you're going to go deep into your shadow. And what that does, it helps you live free from shame. And even if new shame pops up, you'll know how to integrate it, how to heal it, how to work with it. You'll learn how to work with the judgments and the drama and the difficulties and challenges and all that stuff. Like, that's the beauty of shadow work. It gives you a process and a framework for how to approach all of that hard, weird stuff that just sucks in life. And Nikki is an amazing, amazing space holder and guide for this process that she will be taking you on for the 10 women who will be on this Shadow Lab journey. So we'll be back in just a second where I'll share my news, a story of how I manifested it, my husband and I manifested it, and I'll answer questions from the audience. Hey everybody, before we get to our interview today, I have here Nikki Silvestri from episode 102, where we talked about doing shadow work and why it's so important. And the response from this episode from y'all was so positive and so inquisitive that Nikki and I actually held a free online live Q&A, which many of you may have attended or watched the recording of by now. And the response from that was also so positive that we knew that we just had to go deeper with the shadow. So, you know, when I first started talking with Nikki, I knew that her fierce integrity combined with her gentle compassion and her experience helping people integrate and work with their shadow one-to-one in a community and organization settings, I just knew that Nikki was so experienced and so serious about helping people really gain the positive benefits from doing this shadow work. And this is a challenging process, and I just love how Nikki is able to hold the space and create the container for people to move through this process. And so I'm really excited to have her here today to answer a couple questions about this exclusive beta offering that she is doing for you, just for you, the Dream Freedom Beauty community, on a 3-month journey to learn how to do shadow work. So hi, Nikki.
Hey there.
Oh. So first of all, can you tell us a little bit about what this Shadow Lab experience is?
Yeah, it's going to be a 3-month group coaching experience. And so every other week, we're going to get together and jam on what is the shadow, how do you work with it in real life, and then how do you integrate it, most importantly. So it's going to be super fun. It's going to be challenging. And at the end, you're going to come out being able to celebrate your own mess, and I will hold you and celebrate you in it. You're going to be able to partner with instead of shaming your dark side. And you're also going to be able to read your body's wisdom on shadow.
Super powerful. And what I love about this Shadow Lab experience that you're offering is it's a super intimate group. It is limited to only 10 people. So people are going to actually get to know one another, get to know you, and get to go really deep in this work through this beta experience of the Shadow Lab, right?
Oh, totally. Everybody's going to get individualized attention in addition to the every other week sessions. I know that things come up. I'm in my shadow journey all the time, especially when it seems I don't really want to be in my shadow journey. And I have a really wonderful coach who works me through it. And so you will have one-on-one sessions with me in addition to those group sessions so that when things come up, we can work through it together.
So powerful. And so why is this work so important? Like, why do we do this shadow work? What's at stake if we don't?
That's the funny thing. The shadow takes no prisoners. And what's true about it is that our shadow is there all the time. And it's not just one. We have many shadows that hang out. And when we don't see them, they are still there. They are controlling us when we can't see them. And they're acting on our behavior when we don't know it. So that's really the risk of not doing shadow work, is that you don't know where your shadow is controlling you. And if you do shadow work, you get access to more of yourself, and you know that your intentions and your motivations are coming from a very clear through line from your soul to your ego to the outside world, instead of there being a bunch of distortion and confusion along the journey there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my experience of when my shadow's acting up and controlling me from behind the curtain is that I keep kind of running into the same old issues again and again on repeat. And it's when I finally able to turn around and look at that and work with it that I can move beyond those same old issues.
Oh, 100%. And I actually have a couple of examples of how to do that in practice and some of the stuff we'll do in the course, because that going over the same behavior over and over again is really key. So one example of an exercise we're going to do is how to hold multiple truths at the same time. So an example of that would be, let's say you have problematic person A in your life, but you love them. And let's say problematic person is actively causing harm somewhere in your life, but they're necessary because they're a relative you see all the time, or they're a colleague you have to work with. We get into those situations all the time. And the ability to not ping pong between different polarities, because all of these contradictory and conflicting aspects of the situation are true at the same time, is really important. And when you're able to hold more options of what's there, you then have more options when you start acting on how to resolve the situation. Another example of an exercise we'll do is one on how to receive feedback. Because I know that when somebody's trying to be like, Nikki, there's some stuff you ain't seeing. I usually get these like stomach crunchy feelings, and I completely ignore the conversation, or I tolerate the feedback and it doesn't get integrated. So how to receive feedback is going to be an exercise so that the feedback can actually come to you without you feeling shameful about it. And you know how to receive it instead of tolerate it. Both of those things will help you not have to go back through the same stuff over and over and over again.
How powerful. I love that. So when does this start, and where can people go to learn more and fill out an application to join this experience?
The course starts July 12th, and it runs until late September, I believe September 20th. And you can go to nikkisilvestri.com/shadowlab to fill out an application, and then we'll get on the phone and see if the course is right for you.
Excellent. And those applications close on July 2nd, y'all, and there's only 10 spaces. So if you're interested, just fill out a form, no commitment, just fill it out and see if this is for you. And if it is, bon voyage, welcome, and have a great journey. I'm super excited about this, Nikki. Thanks for coming to share this with us today. And everybody, that's nikkisilvestri.com/shadowlab. And I will put that link in the show notes today for this episode, so you can just go to the show notes and click on that and get more information. Thanks, Nikki.
Thank you.
The music you are hearing underneath my talking is my brother-in-law, future brother-in-law, Omar Ruiz Lopez, who is practicing his guitar and violin because he is in a band with my sister Lizzie, who many of you may remember. She was a co-creatrix of this podcast. And I thought it would be just beautiful to include his music in this episode. So if you like what you hear, you know, not all of these songs are things he wrote, but if you want to hear more from music that Omar and Lizzie did write, then check them out. They're Violet Bell. Violet, like the plant, like the flower, and Bell, like you ring a bell. Violet Bell. And you can find them online. Just search Violet Bell. You'll find it. Okay, enjoy. Okay, so this news, my loves, is that my husband and I are moving from Durham, North Carolina to California. And we're moving to Silicon Valley, which is kind of hilarious because it's Silicon Valley. But my husband got a job there, a great job that we're really excited about. And we both really love California. And I'm excited to be in between San Francisco and Santa Cruz and to be able to go bask in the redwoods, go connect with the ocean, drive up and down Highway 1, and also to come see more of you who are on the West Coast. I really, really cannot wait to come travel to San Francisco and up north, up to Mendocino, and then go south down to Big Sur and down to LA and San Diego and come see and meet and hang out and be with some of you, because so many Dream Freedom Beauty listeners live in California. So we're coming for you. But now that you know the news, let's share a little bit about the story of how this all came about. So first of all, something that both my husband, his name is John, my husband and I had wanted for so long was to move out of the Piedmont of North Carolina. It's a great place, but it just never felt like home to us. And we had no idea where home was. We had no idea what kind of lives we would be living, like what would our roles be, where would we be living, what would it look like. We didn't really know all that stuff. My husband was getting really antsy in his job. He was feeling complacent and unfulfilled in his job that he'd had for the past 5 years. And I was just totally over living in the Piedmont of North Carolina because it doesn't have the kind of nature that really fills my soul. And I knew it wasn't my home or the place for me. So my husband, John, was unsure of his career path. He has a PhD in math, essentially. We won't get into the details there, but he's very specialized. And he, you know, he could keep going in his career or he could totally change careers. He didn't know what he wanted. And of course, maybe me, I've been trying to help coach him through discovering what really lights him up and what his options are. And it's funny because sometimes if you ask people, what do they really want? They don't know. And that's my husband's case. He didn't have a vision of what he really wanted. And he didn't really know, like, oh, I'd really love to be a blah, blah, blah. You know, he didn't have that. He just knew that he had followed the threads to this point and he wasn't feeling it anymore, but he didn't know where he wanted to go. And I know that's really common in all kinds of people and situations. You know, we think that we have to have it all figured out, but really we get to the point where we just know that we don't want what we've got, but we don't know what we do want. And that can be really tough. So I feel for you. I've been there too. So he had been trying out for different jobs. He had been applying over the past couple of years to just see if he could get a job. You know, some of the places he would apply to would be like Google, Hulu, stuff like that, where he can do statistics and analytics. And none of them came through. And after a while, he's just like, I don't even know if I want this career anymore. So he has some big questions to answer. Does he want to keep going in his career or does he want to try something new? So, you know, we knew we wanted to live somewhere else. We didn't know exactly where that was. He knew that he wasn't happy in his job, but he didn't know what he wanted. And I knew that I didn't want to live where we lived, so I didn't quite know what I wanted either. So we set about testing and tasting different lifestyles. And how we did that is just following the threads, you know, starting where we're at now with what might be interesting. So if you're in the place where you're like, oh, I don't know what I want, but I know I don't want what I've got, something you can do is you can pause and just think about, okay, what might be interesting? What might I like? You know, I think sometimes we think we have to have it all figured out and we're scared to act on something if it's not 100% right, because what if we get it and it's not what we really wanted? I know I feel that way. But what I like about this method of just tasting and testing is it's really non-committal. It's like, I want to try this flavor. So for example, John and I didn't know where we wanted to live. So we started figuring out more details about what really lights us up around where we would live. So, you know, we tested different climates. Would we like to live near a beach? Well, we liked the beach, but we didn't really want to be on an East Coast beach because it just didn't fully feel there. You know, we've spent a lot of time at the beach. We tested it. We thought about it, felt into it. And there are some parts that we liked about it. Obviously, we love being at the ocean and putting our feet in the sand and the just relaxing feel of the beach. But the East Coast beach didn't fully feel there. So we decided, let's test the mountains. And we went to the Appalachian Mountains in North Carolina, where we've been before. But this time we went in a warm season. We've been a lot in the cold season for some reason. We went in the warm season and it was just such a yes. Like, our hearts and souls felt so home. I actually cried because I hadn't felt so home in so long. The only other place I had felt home was in Big Sur in California, which was totally out of the picture for me ever even thinking I would ever even live near there, funny enough. So we knew the mountains felt amazing. And actually, we took this trip to the mountains and it felt so good. We decided to go and just take our test one step further. And we went and looked at land and we just looked up what's for sale, kind of in our price range and kind of around what we might like to live. And we went and looked at it and walked around on the land and just felt into it. And we knew that wasn't our land, but it felt really fun and good to be there in the hills and the mountains and the trees and the forest near the streams and the creeks. And we felt into the visions of what was possible there. And I'll be honest, I literally fell in love with a mountain. And the top of the mountain is Craggy Gardens on the Blue Ridge Parkway, for any of you who know about Asheville. And it's a misty, mystical, wonderful, magic fairyland up there. It just feels like you're a million miles away from anything, but you're like 20, 25 minutes from the heart of Asheville, which is really special. So I loved that feeling. I loved feeling a million miles away, but also close to places where stuff was happening, where I could connect with people and community. So I knew that, and I fell in love with Craggy Mountains, and of course that commenced a lot of crying because I was like, wow, I've met one of my true loves in this lifetime, and oh, it was amazing, you know, when you meet someone you love that you just met and you feel like you've known them for lifetimes. It's magical. So that's how I felt with this mountain. So I was convinced that we were meant to live like on or near this spot. And I took my tastes and my tests further and made Zillow lists of all the properties, Zillow alerts of all the properties that were coming up for sale in that area that we could afford. And I just tracked them and followed them and felt into each one and imagined how it would feel to live there. I imagined what would my life look like day to day. I imagined what would I be doing? How would I feel? Who would I be hanging out with? And I wrote all this down in my journal and I felt it. I visualized it, which isn't just imagining pictures, but is actually like feeling the experience of living it, visualizing that feeling as if it was already your life. And just felt like a big yes. Like, I would love to live in a forested mountain land with streams and creeks near people who were really amazing. And so on that trip, my husband and I, convinced that we love the mountains, decided to write a list of the new clarity we had from tasting and testing. Because now we understood, oh, there's certain things that we really value and that we'd really like to have in our lives because we tasted and tested this mountain life. So let's write down our list. So we wrote it down as we were driving. And What I love, this is where the pieces start coming together for how it all worked out. What I love is we wanted, number one, clean, healthy, running water on the property to bathe and swim and play in. And number two, we wanted mountain views. And the job he got is literally in Mountain View, California. So that's just one follow the thread here that happens. But we kept going. It turns out that John's job, which had recently been given a 5-year guarantee of existing because they had gotten a new grant. He works in science and they had grants. His boss had recently told him that, yeah, there's another 5 years of grant money. We're all good to go. And then just a few months after that, his boss told him, actually, she's moving. His boss is moving to a different job. And that means the grants are ending and his job was over. So in April, John was given a last day of his work of June 30th. So that really revved up this transformational journey that we had been calling in and kind of put the pressure on for us to do it, to like actually take the leap and do this. So John started applying to jobs like crazy. He got rejected from tons of them, started to feel just worried about, could he make it work? Like, could he, you know, and he was wondering, do I even want to keep going in this career path that I'm on? He had all these doubts and fears, and he kept applying to jobs and getting interviews and getting rejected, and he kept thinking about what other possibilities there were and trying not to freak out, but also allowing the freak out to happen so we could clear the charge, the emotional charge around it. So we're just in that process. I mean, imagine you've been told, oh my gosh, you have 2 months until your job ends, and you have a very specialized skill, and you keep getting rejected for all the jobs that you could fill, and you don't even know what other career you'd possibly want to do. So I know it's really intense. So John decided to follow this thread of possibly becoming a farmer, and which is awesome. I mean, we really support any choice he wants to make. So he went and applied for this internship at a it was actually a 500-acre ranch about an hour west of where we live in North Carolina. And he went and interviewed there, and they wanted to offer him the job, the internship. And he's like, well, I got to bring my wife out here because it would be a huge change for us. We would have to go move out there and like live in a camper, and it's hot and just a totally different lifestyle. So he was really into it and feeling it, but he hadn't met everyone there yet and he wasn't quite sure, and he wanted me to come check it out. So we're following the threads, not sure, is this it, is it not, I don't know. And we go out there and get the tour. I'm with him this time, his second time out there. We go out there and it's beautiful. I mean, it would be a great internship for someone who's really into what it was offering. But it was so clear that time from just continuing to follow the threads that it was an absolute no. As soon as we left the property, we were like, whoa, what just happened? Absolutely hell no, that is not for us. And that's something I want to encourage you all to do too in your path, is like, follow the different threads, taste the different options, test the different options. Just take them as far as you can until you have to make a yes or no choice. And then just trust that feeling. For us, it was an absolute hell no, even though we had no idea what else would happen, what else would come along. And it was getting down to the line. This was like early June. So we said, hell no. No, thank you. This is not for us. And closed that door of that thread. And at that time, he got an interview at Intuit, where he will be working. And first he had a phone interview, and then he had a second phone interview, and then they flew him out. And then he got the job at Intuit. And from having followed the threads of the other options and feeling into the hell no of them, he was really able to feel the hell yes of this opportunity. And it was just so beautifully aligned. And I do believe that by following the other threads and becoming very clear in the know of what else was possible, that this new opportunity opened up, and he was willing and able to perceive it and embrace it and receive it fully, because he had said, he had learned, he'd gathered data about this other stuff that was a no, and it made the yes all more clear because he had tested all these different options. And I'm not getting into every option because I don't want to bore your ears off here. This is just for, you know, helping to share part of this manifesting journey. So another thing that had been going on my side of this is I knew I wanted to move. And before we ever even learned that John's job was ending, I had committed to and begun the process of the Marie Kondo life-changing magic of tidying up. And I knew that I wanted to move. And so I started just clearing out all the stuff that didn't bring us joy in our house and getting ready for an easy move. I didn't know that John's job was going to end. I didn't know we were going to move to California. I had no idea. I just knew I wanted to get the hell out of there. Knew I wanted to move, and I decided to just start acting as if we were moving. So back in March, early April, I started this process. And when we got the news that his job was ending, I felt really validated, honestly, because I was like, yes, I like brought it on, you know, it's like my actions affirmed to the universe that I was ready for a difference, for a change. And here was the opportunity knocking for a change. And so, you know, if there's something you want, you know you want it, but you have no idea where it will take you or what it is, just start the things you can do right now to start that journey. Like, I knew I wanted to move, but I had no idea where or when or what we were going to do or anything. But I knew that if I started clearing out our belongings and getting rid of stuff and keeping only what we really truly loved and getting ready to box things up, that it would open doors. And it did. So what else here? A lot of fears and demons came up. Of course, it wasn't all, you know, rainbows and butterflies here. You know, John had to face a lot of fears around, you know, was his life going to go down this path of like a terrible, you know, dreaded, unfulfilling career path? Was he going to have to make a drastic change and make a huge risk and change careers? You know, he had all these fears he had to face, and I just held space for him and we walked it through. And he's in therapy. He's very open about it. He loves it. If there's any men listening who are, or any women, any people, persons who are wondering about therapy, just do it. It's been life-changing for my husband. He says he wishes he started it 10 years earlier, which is how I felt when I started as well, which is now almost 10 years ago. So, of course, the fears come up. It's not always just like easy peasy, but when you start taking actions aligned with what your heart is asking you for, it's easier to face the fears because you know that they're part of the process and they're going to take you, they're going to lead you as you follow the threads to that place that you're feeling and being pulled to in your heart. Another thing we did was when John lost his job, when he got the news, he suddenly became willing to participate in New Moon manifesting with me. And so how that looked is I helped him formulate his desires on the new moon. And I think I used Jan Spiller's book. I don't remember the name of it. I'm sorry. But if you look up Jan Spiller, she has a new moon astrology book. You'll know. You'll see it. And it's super easy. You write down 10 desires of things you wish to manifest, and that's it. So I helped John formulate his 10 desires on the new moons, and that was really fun, actually. Soon we'll go back and review those. I'm sure there's some amazing threads there, but I don't have them here at the beach with me. And we just kept following the thread, following the feeling of the yeses, tasting and testing, getting the yeses and the noes from the different tastes and the tests, facing the fears, getting more clear on our desires, and researching and learning. And one of the things that's really important here is not remaining attached to any particular item or outcome or expectation. So for me, I had fallen in love with that mountain in Asheville, outside of Asheville. And I knew, like, wow, if anyone had to ask me where I would move and spend the rest of my life right now, I would go live on that mountain. And I was doing everything that I could in the moment to affirm my movement towards that mountain. I was tracking the real estate. I was like researching who are the neighbors and looking up what would my community be like there and just learning about it and feeling into it. It feels really good. I would still love to live there. But also what that showed me is it showed me the feeling, like it helped me get clear on what feelings, what does it feel like to have that? What feelings embody that lifestyle and that vision and that yes, that yes, I love it. Like, how did that feel? And what are some of the qualities and values and visions that aligned with that feeling and inspired that feeling? And so it was honestly hard for me to not get attached to it. I mean, I wished so badly that some job would come through in Nashville and we would suddenly be able to move there and it would all be magical and amazing. I was just like, yes, please bring it. I want it. But I also knew that it doesn't always turn out exactly how you think it's going to turn out. So I definitely, if you asked me to bet money on something, I would be like, yeah, we're moving to Asheville. You know, that's, I was like sure of it. But I also knew in my heart that following the feelings, follow the threads. And that if you stay tuned in to those threads and those feelings, you'll be led to a situation that perfectly matches what you're asking for. So this is how I trust the process, is even though I might have fallen in love with this mountain and this space, I know how it feels, and I just keep following the threads aligned with those feelings and saying yes, aligned with the feelings, and saying no when it's not aligned, and trusting the process. I think that's so key. Maybe even rewind and just listen to that last 10 seconds there. So, just checking my notes here. Something amazing is, I mentioned, the only other place I ever felt that feeling of home and yesness, like I felt on top of the mountain outside of Asheville, was on Highway 1 in Big Sur, and along, really along all of Highway 1 that I drove, but I really loved Big Sur in California. And I'm just blown away that what has aligned for us is that we're living in a place called Mountain View. Well, we won't live in Mountain View. We'll live outside of there, hopefully in the hills between San Francisco and Santa Cruz in the Redwoods. But John's job is in Mountain View. We are literally right next to Highway 1. And that I can go be in that sacred space. And I'm sure there's many more sacred spaces that feel like home to me along that route, much closer to home, that embody that feeling. And I never even imagined that would happen. Just like, wow, I followed the feeling, I followed the thread, and here it is. Another thing that happened in this is I learned a long time ago that if you want money, you really do have to shoot and aim for a certain number. Like, really ask for quantity. Put down a number. You know, do some math. Use your logic brain to figure out, like, how much would really fulfill my needs. And then do your heart work and your shadow work and tune into what feels good and tune into what friction you have to receiving that and to what your shadow really wants. But really, you need to feel into a number and choose one. So over this whole course, I had been manifesting to generate an income after taxes of a specific number. And I was expecting it to come through Dream Freedom Beauty. And I was hoping for it to come through Dream Freedom Beauty, and it still may. But I looked back at my notes today and yesterday and did some calculations of how much we would receive after taxes from my husband's new job. And get this, the number I'd asked for and the amount of income we get after taxes from John's job is the exact number I wrote down and asked for per month. Exactly. How crazy and wild is that? And yet it's so not wild, because this is what happens when we tune in and ask for things and just open up to the possibilities. It's like legit so real. And here's where I thought it was going to come through Dream Freedom Beauty, but it came through a totally different portal. I was just open to it and calling it in and willing to receive it. And I would still honestly love to manifest it through Dream Freedom Beauty as well. And some of that's my ego wants that validation. But, you know, for now, I'm pretty stoked about the outcome of this manifestation here. Some money magic. So if you're struggling with some money things, then get clear on a number and just be open to receiving it through whatever channels it comes through. And I do recommend you ask for it in happy, healthy ways. That's something I learned from the Jan Spiller book that I love. I know your shadow wants all kinds of like dramatic, difficult, hardship ways. That's fine. You can totally do that. But I find that my shadow gets enough of that through even the happy, healthy ways. It gets the parts of that it wants. So just ask for your amount in happy, healthy ways and be open to receiving it through whatever channels it's going to come through you to. Like, that's the thing. You might be fixating on it coming through one channel when it's ready to pour through this entire other channel, and you just can't see it because you're so fixated on one channel for it to come through. So thanks for listening this far. I hope I'm not I feel like I'm rambling. I know I could probably do a better concise job of this, but hey, first solo episode in 2 years. So if you made it this far, awesome. And something that I really wanted to share from this is that if you're meant for something, claim it. Feel into it. Feel it in your heart. And keep trusting the journey as you follow the threads to claim it and receive it. You'll have it. And you don't really need to fixate and stress about the things that don't work out or might not work out. Because really, truly, when you get aligned, which is calibrating that inner feeling of the yes and no of what your heart really wants, and we'll get into that more maybe in a online workshop or something, or if you have a call with me, I teach people how to do this. When you calibrate and get clear on your inner yes and your inner no, and you follow the threads and trust it and say yes to what feels yes and say no to what feels no, then what's yours is going to be yours. You don't need to fixate and force and push. Of course, you're going to have to do some work and you're going to have to put some effort into it, but that's different from forcing things to happen. Just got to keep tuning in and navigating with the twists and turns. And it doesn't mean there won't be sacrifice or struggle or hard choices to make. That's life. It's not always going to look like rainbows and butterflies, even though I love those things. But even when you stay tuned in and you stay trusting the process, even in those challenges and struggles and dark moments, you'll know you're held. It's a process, and you won't be perfect at it at first. Manifesting. This is how I do life, y'all. So if I'm not being clear, definitely please, if there's questions, email me, go to the contact form, let me know, because I'd be happy to put together more stuff to help you all with this process. Okay, I know there's more, but that's the news, that's the journey of how we got there. There's more threads, more things, but that's the gist of it. I'm thrilled, I'm super stoked, I can't wait to see what's going to happen. And we'll be there in mid-August, it looks like. So, wow. I'll see you soon. California, we're coming for you. And now let's answer some questions from the audience. I posted on Instagram and asked y'all, what questions do you have for me? And here we go. This first one is from Irving the Cat. Irving the Cat says, I want to know how you keep up your self-care routine, whether it's witchy, spiritual, or just the act of slowing down, when life throws you curveballs or when traveling. Okay. Irving the Cat, thank you for your question. It's a really good question. And I want to just say caveat for everyone, what works for me may not work for you, so don't force it, but try it on, taste it, and test it, like I just talked about. Tasting and testing. And here we go. For me, a routine, it's a habit, and it's a choice, and it's become a choice through tasting and testing and practicing and feeling what it feels like to make the choice and feeling what it feels like to not make the choice. And so my favorite routines for self-care anywhere are to always tune in the morning. Tune in to how I'm feeling, tune into my energy, tune into noticing, am I feeling embodied, or is my attention and awareness somewhere outside of my body? Am I carrying other people's energy? I do this through meditation and just checking in. I mean, it's like second nature now because I've done it for so long. But really, I mean, you, your body, and your attention are all the tools you really need. So at the very least, if you're traveling, and even throughout your day at any point, you can remember to just close your eyes, take a few breaths. Let's do it now. Let's just do it now. Close your eyes if it's safe. Breathe in. Breathe out. Relax. Breathe in. Relax. And notice, where is your attention? Can you feel your body? Can you even feel into the base of your body? Can you feel into your womb space? Can you breathe into there? Breathe into your womb space. And does it make you feel like you're back in your body a little more? How does it feel? Can you breathe in to your solar plexus, the space where your rib cage meets? Are you hanging out in there, or is it other people's energy in there? Does it feel tight, or does it feel expansive? How does it feel? Breathe into your solar plexus. And breathe out and release any energy that's not yours in that space. Notice your heart space. Are you in your heart space, or are you totally out of your body? What energy is in there? How does it feel? You can breathe in. Let that breath energy clear around and swirl out that heart space. Breathing out anything that is not yours. And do this for your throat now. Notice. Is it your energy hanging out in your throat? Is it someone else's? Breathe out and relax, release. Any throat energy that is not yours or not serving you. Breathe into your third eye space. Release. Breathe into the crown of your head. And release. And bring it back home, down to the base of your body, and breathe in to your base, your butt. And breathe out and release. That's such a simple practice, breathing into the different energy centers in your body, and breathing out and releasing any energy that is not yours or that doesn't serve you. And I go deeper, and anyone who's had a call with me knows that the first part of the call is a unique, customized, guided journey to clear out your energy and get grounded and centered. And it's all recorded. So anyone who does a call with me, a one-to-one call, gets a custom journey to clearing your chakras and your energy, getting embodied. And you have that there. You have that tool there recorded for you to listen to again and again. But this is a simple practice. And it's called a practice for a reason, because when you commit to it, to doing something like this regularly, every day or once a week or on every new moon and full moon, whatever feels good to you, when you practice, in those easy times, then when it's showtime and the shit show is happening, then you've got that. You're on it. It's in your back pocket. It's habit. It's routine. You just know how to do it. And sometimes in those hard moments, you're not going to get as clear feeling or as grounded as when it's easy, but you're going to get a lot more grounded and clear and aligned and focused and centered than you would if you didn't do this at all. So that's a really powerful self-care practice. I think so many people are walking around not even in their bodies. And I really think the first step to any of this stuff is getting back in your body. And for some of you who have deep trauma, it might be really hard and really scary because the memory of the trauma lives in your body, and it's just not safe for you to go back into that space, or at least that's what the fragment of your soul that left at that moment of trauma believes. It believes it's not safe for you to be in your body because something like that might happen again, or you might have to re-experience it. So if you're having trouble with this, I definitely recommend seeing a healer or a shaman or getting a soul retrieval, doing something to help make it safe for that part of you to come back home in your body. So that's one method I really love to stay, to have self-care during anything, curveballs or traveling. And then my second favorite, I think that's a universal thing. Everyone can do that. And you can do it while you're walking or sitting or whatever. Just what works for you. Don't force yourself into a box. Try it. If your method doesn't work, tweak it. Try it. Tweak it, try it, until you land on what does work for you. And when that stops working, tweak it and try it. I mean, we're in an evolutionary process here, so you're not going to find just the one thing and that's it forever. But you might find something and it evolves with you. So be open to that. Get over the idea that it has to be the one thing forever. We're always changing, so let your self-care change with you. Even though you may have it anchored in a certain framework, be flexible. Unless you're the kind of person who absolutely can't, then don't. Don't listen to me. So then another thing is, for me, I find it really powerful and clearing and energizing to journal. There's something about actually physically putting my pen to the paper and moving it and just getting my thoughts and feelings out on paper in the morning that shifts me into that space, into that aligned space. It helps me see what I need to work on to clear, what kind of shadow shit is coming up, and also helps me see what is really inspiring, and it helps me get my ideas and inspirations out on paper, because you know, inspirations can be fleeting, and if you don't record them, they might never return. So I find that journaling is really good for me. That's just one of my top favorite practices for self-care. If you do those things, I think you'll be onto a pretty centered, grounded day as much as possible, and checking in again and again with yourself. You know, caveat, I don't have kids, so I'm not pushed to that edge that I know children can push you to. And I've created a lifestyle for myself where I don't have to face a lot of BS that I used to have to face in the world, because I followed the threads through the years and just kept saying no to those BS opportunities and started saying yes a little more and a little more to what I really wanted and what felt yes and good to me. So I've gotten to this space now where there's a whole lot less BS, even though there's still plenty of stuff, but just following the threads. And it all starts with the tiny, tiny, tiny moments of practice and the tiny choices you make again and again. I am just a huge believer. Making tiny choices again and again and again can have huge impacts in your life over time. So she also asked, Irving the Cat, which I'm assuming is a she, but may not be, so apologies if you're not. Irving the Cat, we'll just say they, asked about... They said, I also loved hearing about men and the way they are also totally screwed over by the patriarchy. And how do we share all the magic, witchy, beautiful things that we are learning and observing and experiencing with partners, family, friends who don't, quote, buy it, quote, and who are not interested in that facet of self-exploration? How do we stay connected rather than isolate ourselves from everyone who isn't as like-minded? Well, that was a lot. Love your work, Natalie. Thanks for all you do. You are so appreciated by so many. Thank you, Irving the Cat, for listening and asking these questions. So that's a big question. Essentially, how do we interact with and share the magic with all the people in our lives who don't buy into that magic and who aren't obsessed with it like we are? Yay! So first of all, I would say don't ever worry about convincing someone that it's real. The only way people come to find that it's real is through their own magical experiences and their willingness to see and receive that. So you literally cannot convince someone through logic. The whole logic trap is just going to take you down a dead end struggle. You can go there if you want, but I just don't even try. I don't care. I live my magic. And then when people are curious or interested and they approach me about things that maybe are a little different, I'm willing to share and open up and hold space for that. But you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. I'm not the type of person who's here to force people to do my way. I really don't care if they do my way, if they believe in what I believe in. And it's hard, I understand, because when you're experiencing like massive transformation and magic, and you're like, wow, this could be so powerful and potent and transformative for so many people, especially for people you love, it's really hard to not want to share that and get them as excited as you are. So I guess to that end, you know, feel free to share what's happening, but just make sure you're not shutting down your magic when you share with them and they come back to you and say, oh, that's all BS. You know, that's it's a sensitive place. And until you're really solid in your magic, in your trusting and believing and processes of knowing this is really real, maybe take a break from trying to share it with other people who don't get it and who aren't interested. Because if they shut you down, you might shut yourself down further. And that'd be really sad. But there will come a point where you are so into it that you don't care if they care or do what you do. Like my husband, he is a math logic dude. He's like, no idea if he doesn't even care if my stuff I'm into exists or not. He's just happy that I'm happy, and I'm happy that he's happy that I'm happy. And he's willing to have discussions with me about these things intellectually and to even do some things now. I mean, we've been together for 7 years, so at this point, you know, like I mentioned, he's willing to do new moon manifesting, but only at my guidance and invitation, and I never force anything upon him ever. I really think that if you're just living your magic and you're rocking it, you're going to attract your vibe, your tribe by your vibe. And that's really important. Just as, you know, just as much as there's people who are in your life who are not into magic, there's other people out there who are looking for a community and friends to connect with and freak out about this together with. And I would say focus your energy and attention on finding those people. Because we really, I think in our society, we place so much expectation on our spouses and family to like be everything to us. That's just crazy talk, I think. You know, like, I have a community who I can connect with about the magic, who's into it, who gets it. It's you people, you loves and listeners. And I have people in my physical life, friends, who are totally into it. And I'm very, very happy and satisfied with being able to geek out and freak out and connect over that with my friends. And then my husband and I have other things we connect about. And he's even open to, I mean, he'll pull a tarot card once in a while and like, you know, he's open to it, but it's just not his thing. He's not driven by it. It's not his passion like it is mine. Just like my passion is not woodworking and he loves woodworking, you know, he doesn't force me to woodwork. That would be a mess. You know, we just appreciate each other's hobbies and interests and we love each other and we connect on so many levels. And I'm living my magic, and that magic does affect him. And it's amazing. I mean, this is a huge conversation. Maybe we'll have to have a gathering about this, because I think it's really hard for a lot of people. They want everyone else around them to get it and to, because it's so transformative, but it's just not worth your energy to try to convince them. I wouldn't do it. So here's the thing. When you're rocking your magic and you're just like winning at whatever it is you're doing, and you're loving it, and you're just having the time of your life, and you're transforming, the people who are meant to come along on the journey will come along. They'll get the picture. Their souls are also magic, whether they believe it or not, and they will work their own magic in their own way to keep partying with you along the journey. So I know sometimes that means some people will drop out of your life, and that's really hard. But other relationships will transform and come along for the ride. It's part of the journey. Let's see. Did I answer that, or did I ramble? How do we stay connected rather than isolate ourselves from everyone who isn't as like-minded? I really think that the key to staying connected to everyone who isn't as like-minded is connecting with people who are like-minded, so you get that satisfaction and connection and fulfillment in that space, and then not having to connect over these things with other people. Find other things to connect with about, to connect about with them. That's it. I mean, so simple, but yeah, simple is good. And that's how I do it. I'd love to hear how anyone else does this. Let's see. There's some other replies. Someone replied to Irving the Cat, said, "I love Moon and Mother Vine," says, "I love the question of how we share what we're learning with those we love, but who are not interested or embarking on a similar journey. Feel this way with my husband. It's sometimes hard to connect when he and other loved ones in my life are unable to engage or connect with my learning." Again, just find your tribe who you can connect with, and just keep partying in your magic. And people are going to catch up. They're going to catch wind that you're really rocking it over there. And they might not want to come become wizards and witches and be magical with you, but they're going to open up. When you just live your best life, it opens people's eyes and their hearts and their minds, and the journey will unfold as it's meant to. I'm starting to feel like a quote book or something here. Okay, here's another question. Love this. There's a lot of good questions. Stitch Wish asked about the difference between where you thought you were going and where you now find yourself in manifesting. And I think I covered that in my journey. So there you go, Stitch Wish. Kisses and hugs to you, upcoming guest on our show. Let's see. What do you see? We want to hear your self-care lightning round. Okay, Dreads on My Head X says, "Yeah, girl, we want to hear your self-care lightning round." Well, you can hear that in the episode of Self-Care Club where Rebecca interviewed me. So there's that. Answered that. And I think, wow, these are some big questions, y'all. Self-care and the material health realm. Okay. I think that I'm going to have to answer the rest of these in another episode, because they are big questions and I've already thrown a lot at you. So here's what Dream Freedom Beauty is going to look like as I move. I'm going to keep doing the episodes. I think I'm going to shut down the self-care club and revision that, because we've been having these online gatherings and they're potent and amazing. And I want to revision that into a format and framework that is easier and more effective for y'all and easier for me to deliver massive value to you through this. Because these online gatherings are places where we get to connect with other people who are going through the same struggles that all of us magic people go through, and who are also manifesting amazing successes and sharing and getting to learn and grow and connect in that way. So I'm going to revision it. It's not going to be the self-care club anymore. Maybe we'll relaunch that in the fall equinox. to be determined. And I also want to invite any of you who really do need and want more clarity, help getting unstuck with where you're at, to come have a one-to-one call with me. I know it's an investment, but I give you my full presence. I guide you in getting clear, grounded, and centered. And you really will walk away with clear next steps and a method for moving forward that's going to guide you. It's going to guide you without having to figure it all out, okay? I see this trend over and over again. And if you feel like you just can't do it for yourself, you need someone to reflect and hold the space for you, then I'm your girl. Call me. What's up? No, but dreamfreedombeauty.com. You'll see a button there for one-to-one sessions in the menu. And come do it. I've had some amazing calls. And I'll start sharing some testimonials on here. But really want to invite you to do that. It's really special. It's really sacred. And really potent and powerful. And it's my honor to hold that space for you and guide you through whatever it is that you're feeling and needing to get unstuck from. So, one-to-one calls, come and get it. I'll see you there. And if you liked this episode, even though it was a little rambly, but I know I can sharpen up and shape up my method here, I would love to do more solo episodes or even get some of you on the call and have you ask your questions and just do more of that. I think it's really fun to hear from you and connect with you. And I don't know, I just want to help answer your questions and help guide you and lead you, because I know it's not always easy to be on this path, especially when you feel like you're crazy. But let me just assure you, you're not. Just keep going. You've got this. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this was nourishing to you. If you enjoyed it, if you'd like me to do more Q&A type episodes, if there's questions you have for me about anything, then let me know in the Instagram post where I've posted about this episode or through my contact on dreamfreedombeauty.com. Just contact me. Let me know. And if you want a one-to-one session, you can get that. You can book that over at dreamfreedombeauty.com and just click the one-to-one session button and you'll get all set up. I'll see you there. And the deadline for the Shadow Lab with Nikki Silvestri is coming up. The deadline to apply is July 2nd. So if you're interested in that, then make sure you go check it out and let Nikki know that you're interested. You can find a link to that on dreamfreedombeauty.com, or you can go to nikkisilvestri.com and you'll see it there. nikkisilvestri.com/shadowlab.